Well, we're back into Hebrews. Can you imagine I'm saying that? All right. We're in the 11th chapter of Hebrews tonight. And Lord is just again magnifying the need and the wondrous opportunity that we have in believing in Him. The wonderful opportunity that we have to have faith in Him. And again, this whole book magnifies that need in our life and the reward that we'll have from that someday. Even a cold cup of water given in the name of a prophet has its reward. Can you even imagine that? Now, how much more reward by the grace of God that we're sharing the Word of God tonight, that we're believing His promise to us, that we're living that, and that prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus, hallelujah, is something that we're truly after. That's gets you pretty excited when you think about a reward to that. But in the 11th chapter, we're going to pick up in the fifth verse tonight. And just to touch on those first four verses, faith again, the wonderful substance, the evidence of things hoped for, and that is Christ, things that aren't seen. And I'm so thankful as you grow in faith, and the Lord again encouraged me this week in that verse, how as you get to really know Him. And He's been really dealing with me about knowing Him this week. When I really get to know Him, I see Him more clearly than I see any of you. I see Him more clearly than I see anything in this world, don't you? Hallelujah. He writes these wonderful love letters to us. He speaks to us through His Word. He becomes real. And that's the evidence and that's the substance of that faith being built in our life. Verse 2, we saw that faith is how we obtain anything in our lives, any type of a good report. Verse 3, by faith we understand. People always question, they bring up things, and we're going to read tonight that we must believe that He is, and that it's settled, and that it's done. It's just like a child. I was sharing with Brother Mark last night. We were talking to a sweet brother that's having some difficulties. And I think the difficulties we ever have in our life, it's the sin that so easily besets us, isn't it? And if you really know the Word of God, you'll know what that is. And that's your lack of faith. And that's what it is. It's stepping out in belief. I can dwell in the land of unbelief all I want. And there's going to be pain. There's going to be agony. There's going to be distress. But in a moment, I can step into belief. I can step into the promise of God. I can live that in my life. That can flourish in my life. And what a privilege to know Him. Last week as well, in the fourth verse, we saw about Abel and how he offered a more excellent sacrifice. And by the grace of God, this Hebrews talks about the better. And by the grace of God, we're going to get into that fifth verse tonight. And we're even going to talk a little bit about the best. I get excited about this. So let's read that fifth and sixth verse together. It says, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And hallelujah, that by faith we are translated. We are translated from death to life. And so wonderfully, this verse reveals the plan that God has in mind for a group of people that are going to be for His name's sake. I hope we see this. I hope you're seeing that this is such a wonderful example. Elijah as well, too, as he was taken up into heaven before he reached death, that there's going to be a group of people that are going to meet the Lord in the air. Talks about that in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Hallelujah. Forever to be with the Lord. To be with Jesus Christ. In the third chapter of Revelation, it talks about those that will be spared from the tribulation. That won't see that time. Because why? Because they kept the word of His patience. The word of His patience, that's the faith, that's the hope that we look for and that we're living to, hallelujah, for His name's sake. Those who have kept the word of His patience and will take them to heaven without dying. And by the grace of God, I hope you understand and I hope we are seeing that this time is unfolding before us. We look around the earth today. We look around this planet, you see the things that are happening. You know, somebody was talking about, oh, this is the judgment of God coming on us, these hurricanes. It's a wake up. It's a wake up. By the grace of God, His children aren't even, the children right now are not going to see that wrath. They're going to see some of it if you're in the innumerable multitude. You'll start to see some of it. But by the grace of God, to be transported in the air to meet Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Do you really believe by the grace of God that you are being offered at this moment, at this time that we're living in, that you can rule and reign with Jesus Christ? He's going to take a bride. Why do you think He did this? Why do you think He had Enoch? Why do you think He had sweet Rebecca going across to meet Isaac? All those trials. I will go. I will go. And it's faith. It's faith in that Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Developed the faith in her life. But precious Enoch is that type. And he wasn't translated, as you'll see here, because of self-effort. It wasn't because of self-effort. It wasn't because of works. And there's many Christians that start talking about a bride of Christ, but they get into saying that, oh, well, to get to the, you're saved by grace, but then you have to keep the Ten Commandments to go into the bride of Christ. I've heard that before. I don't know if you have. It's sad. Oh, ye foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit and in the grace of God, now you're returning back to this bondage? It takes more grace and more grace and more grace to prepare that bride. She has made herself ready. By the grace of God, we're going to talk about the knowledge that grace gives. Why do you think it says grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? There's provisions of grace that are wonderful. But then, by the grace of God, you have the opportunity to even grow in grace. And that's when you get the knowledge of Him. That's when you really know Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is a walk of faith, and the bride is full of faith. You read in verse 6, it's impossible to please God without faith. And He pleased God. So He must have had great faith, because it says that He pleased God. And faith comes by hearing again, and hearing by the Word of God. And Enoch was one of those that, hallelujah, will be taken because he knew God. The ones that are going to meet Him in the air are the ones that are going to know Him. Again, talking to that man the other night, and the pain and the distress. He talked about being a Christian. And I've talked to many like this. And even ones that sit in this meeting. I want more faith. I want to have that faith to believe. Well, what are you doing during the week? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you coming to Bible study? Are you putting those things in your life? There's a plan. This is a blueprint for you of having everything in Christ that He wants you to have. Hallelujah. To go on with Him. That He can give to each and every one of His children if, again, they will walk and talk with Jesus. Do you walk and talk with Him throughout your day? I do. I'm so thankful. I think people would call me nuts. But that's Jesus speaking to me. And He speaks to me through His Word. And it's all day long. There's communication there. And He tells me how He loves me. And things happen in my life. And He says, son, all things work together for good to them that love God. And He says, I got a plan for you. And I want you to grow in me. And I want you to grow up in me. And you know what? Someday I want to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Does He encourage you with those words? If He's not encouraging with those words, it's because you're neglecting it. Do you understand that? What do we read way back in Hebrews? How could we neglect so great salvation? How could we put it aside when we know what, by the grace of God, what He's calling us into? How magnificent it is. Run, brother, run. Oh, the Lord is all on this thing and I just love Him so. But do we really walk and talk with the Lord? And this is how we walk and talk with Jesus. I was speaking to somebody today and the brother was saying, oh, the Lord so tells me. He's just given me visions. He's given me all these things. And I said, that's precious. But the one thing about visions and the one thing about dreams and all of that, does it align itself with the Word of God? See, we can start feeling a lot of things. We can start sensing a lot of things. But we don't walk by that. We walk by faith. And again, your faith is by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You're going to hear that over and over. And you know why? Because the time is short. And you know what those good brothers did of old? They reminded them over and over and over of the necessity of the things of God in their life. And it's faith. Hallelujah. Faith in the precious love of God. As Paul said, that I may know Him. And what did he say after that? The power, and know the power of His resurrection in the fellowship of His suffering. And that power of His resurrection is going to see in the greatest of all raptures when He takes His bride. It's happened. I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen. It's right on the wing. It's about here in the twinkling of an eye, it says. I'm going to get rid of this old body that weighs me down. It's kind of like old baggage. But you know what? He gave me this old baggage because He wanted to magnify Himself in me. Know that. Don't get frustrated with that. Don't get down on that. Say, Lord, I know that there's a reason here. And as we've talked about many times, and as the Word of God has shown us, it's because of free will worship. And it's in the time of failure. He's saying, will you step out and still worship me? Will you come out of that wreck? Will you come out of that mire? And will you still worship me? And the wonderful thing about faith that He continues to show me, and all throughout the Word of God, it's immediate. Faith is immediate. It's got immediate benefit. It'll take you from despair and it'll set you on a mountaintop. It'll take you from a total flop and it'll give you an inheritance beyond. Because you see it. Because you live it. And again, just like Brother Mark and I were talking about, his little boy was sitting there as we were talking to that man. And it just hit me so much. I said, again, Lord, He was talking to me. It's faith like a child. And I saw how his son just looked at him, and it was just so sweet. I mean, his daddy is everything in his eyes. His daddy's word is gold. His daddy is, that's what it is. And it was so sweet after I said that to him. He said, well, one of the brothers asked him, his boy just earlier, says, who's your favorite superhero? And he said, my dad. So see, the Lord's working there, isn't He? Just in those little teeny things. See, it's in the small voice, isn't it? It's not in the great things. We're talking about a lot of big things that are going on in this world. The Bible talks about them too. He calls them wood, hay, and stubble. Christ is after precious stone. He's after the goodly pearl. And it's rare. And He's searching right now for it. And by the grace of God, I think we're kind of coming into that and seeing it, aren't we? Praise His name. Now, verse 6, it goes on to tell us that faith in His Word is the controlling feature of an overcoming life. And it truly is. Faith is our overcoming tool in life. And do we live this? If you really want power in your life, if you want His overcoming victory in your life, we need to know this. We need to believe this. This needs to become our own. Do you believe that He's all wisdom to you? When you're sitting there taking a test in school and you're getting a little nervous there, do you believe He's all wisdom to you? Now, I'm not saying this blind stuff. I'm not saying, hey, I'm not going to study and I'm really trusting God. See, that's not where He's put you. I tested Him one time like that and that wasn't testing Him. You do things, all things, in honor and glory of Him. And I study to show myself approved even unto Him. But there's a discipline in all, even in our lives. To glory to God. You know, to be the best you can be, that He's given you to be, glories Him. It gives glory to God. To be the man of God that He's made you, it gives glory to God. And those are the things that we need to rest upon and dwell in. But we need to believe this and make it our own. And God's will break loose in your life. And I was thinking about that as the Lord so encouraged me. I love when His will breaks loose in my life. That's when He enlarges my steps. Yeah. That's when I have a vision. Hallelujah. And without a vision, it says the people perish. Why do you again think people jump around to churches so much anymore in these days? They're searching for something. Word of God says they have itching ears. And it was so wonderful as I was thinking about this place. I thought, and I shared this with my wife, I said, you know what's so sweet is people come here really to hear the Word of God. I said, really, the people that are really coming in, you're entering into the things of God. We're entering in to the depths of His Word and His love. And I said, it's amazing that the majority of the people really do want God's best. I really do believe it. Why else would you be here? If you really didn't want God's Word, you sure wouldn't be here. And it's entertaining to us because we love Jesus. It's entertaining to us because we love Jesus. I was talking to a man. He's bringing his 13-year-old son here. He loves to come here. He loves to sit here during the meeting. I can see it. A 13-year-old little boy. Only God. See, if the Word doesn't get a hold of your life, if it doesn't become the thing that grips you, the thing that captivates you, really, the love of God captivating you, you're not going to stay in it. It's not going to work effectually in your life. It's not about song. It's not about miracles. It's not about great events. It's about God's Word. And God's Word is Christ Jesus. That's His Son. The Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And it's all love. It's all love. The truth in love. He is the truth. He is the way. And He is love. And when the Holy Spirit opens this up to us, that effectual love, it takes us all the way. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just so thrilled at what He's showing me every day. And it's new every day. But see, this is a life that lives the Scriptures. And religion's never going to get this. It's a faith life. And a life that lives the Scriptures pleases God. And anything else that we have truly is sin. You read Romans 14:23 if you're thinking you're going to be good. It says, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." You're never going to get it done, are you? You need the great high priest. How many times a day do you not have faith for something? I don't want you telling me. But it's true. Think about it. How many times a day, or let's even go a week, I'll back off on you a little bit there, that you don't have faith for something. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, get rid of that old man. Get rid of that self-righteousness. And know who loves you. Who will never forsake you. And sin is sin with God. That's why I saw a bumper sticker today. What was it? Clinton lied, but nobody died, or something like that. Now, I'm not getting political on you here. But we're weighing what sins are, aren't we? Oh, well, this was a little lie, and that was a bigger lie, and this was it. Sin is sin. Okay? And Paul said to us, he said, don't let sin reign in your life. Don't let that be the power that reigns over your life. And that power can be anything. It can be a horrid sin. It can be something that's an addiction in your life. Like money. It could be alcohol. As we talked about. It could be your children. Oh, no, wait a second. How could my children have power over my life? I'll tell you what. I'm a parent and I've known that there's been times that children have had their power over my life because I wasn't trusting God for them. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your job, whatever it is, what has the power over your life? That's the sin that so easily besets us, is our lack of faith. And when the power of Christ doesn't rest upon me fully, I'm not dwelling in His faith life, am I? And what is the alternative? Sin. It's amazing. Now, don't be you're a little discouraged. You're like this. I know you're listening. But know that God loves you. That's what I'm trying to get to you here. That's what the Lord's trying to bring across to us here, is that He's for us, so who can be against us? He covers a multitude of sin, doesn't He? And then a multitude more and a multitude more. And the neat thing about the Lord is I so appreciate the picture that He put in my mind one time when I felt, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I failed you. Really, I'm so sorry when I fail God. But He put me on His lap and He said, I love you and I'm just trying to figure out what you're talking about. He forgot them. Know the Word of God. He forgot them. He forgave them. And in a moment, I'm in the throne. And that's where He can grow and take me on. Thank you, Jesus. Now, verse 6, it continues on, and I love this second part as well, too. How simple. You'll never come to Him unless you believe that He is. That He is. Not that He was. Not that He might be. This is I am. I appreciate Brother Dean last night. He brought out in the men's fellowship, really meant a lot to me, just bringing that back. The Word of God should always mean a lot to you. How many times over does it ever grow old? Oh, if it's growing old, say, Lord, increase my faith. Right? But He brought out about He is and I am. And I so appreciated when He talked about Jesus. There He was, and they were taking Him. Those soldiers came. And they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And He says, I am. And you know what happened to them? They fell back and they fell down. And I just thought, oh, what a name. That's my Jesus. That's my I Am. That's your I Am. And you know what power's in that name? When you speak the name of Jesus in faith and believing. And that was just a foreshadow of what's to come. Because every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord. And it hurts me. And I'm going to tell you that. And this isn't anything. I'm not being emotional about it or anything. But it hurts me when they despise my Jesus. When they mock His name. When they say there's other faiths. When they say there's other ways. When what my Christ has done for man. When what my God gave up in His Son to save us. I really do sometimes say, how dare you? But the love of God. He died for all men. He even died for that man that says those things. The wickedness that comes out. But that's the I Am. And I think when every knee bows and every tongue confesses, by the grace of God, I'm going to be right there with them. And you know what else He said? He tagged on to that. He says, and I'm going to make them know that I loved you. Can you imagine that? That's the I Am. You don't think you're anything in this life? You're somebody. You're somebody in Him. Oh, hallelujah. You don't realize what you are in Him. You are everything to Christ Jesus. And I hope He's proposing that to you as we're talking here tonight. But as the man I met the other day, and I think I mentioned this to you, he said, well, I was an altar boy when I was a kid, and we were talking about the things of God, and I knew he wasn't a believer, just talking to him very, very quickly. He said, when I was an altar boy and I used to go down and light them candles, he said, you know, I'd kind of talk to God. And I said, well, how would you talk to Him? He said, well, I'll believe in you if you'll blow one of these candles out. And I said, He never blew a candle out for you, did He now? He said, no, He didn't. And I said, you know what? He's never going to blow a candle out. Because you know why? Because whoever comes to Him has to believe that He is. He is. Jesus Christ in His wonderful life on this earth, those last especial 3 years when He finally did the miracle. And He did more miracles and all that. But then the people, what did they want to see? Did they want to see Jesus anymore? Uh-uh. They wanted to see the miracles, didn't they? And as you read the Word of God and as you study His life, what happened to those miracles? He stopped doing them, didn't He? They became less and less and less. It's the truth. He didn't say, I'm the miracle. He didn't say, I'm the great, in a sense, healer. Uh-uh. I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I am your life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I just so again rest in that He loves me so. And in faith, it goes on to say that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'd like you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. It says here, and this is wonderful, Paul at his end. He says, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Oh, hallelujah. And there is but one faith, and that's in Christ Jesus. Henceforth, or now, because of this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. And I believe we're here tonight as a group of people that truly are watching and waiting and yearning for that wondrous appearing of Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine when we're going to see Him? I was talking to the brothers today. I thought about Brother Hill, how he'd say, can you imagine, do you think old Brother Copley, when the dead in Christ shall rise, do you think He's going to say, hey D.E., hey Duluth, let's go? Well, now we say, hey, can you imagine, do you think Brother Hill might be walking amongst us someday and say, it's time. But you know, the Lord's telling us, let's go right now. Is He telling you, let's go? Oh, hallelujah. Again, as you live the day expecting His coming, even though He didn't come at the end of the day, you lie in your bed and say, thank you, Jesus, that You caused me to look for You. That You're my everything. I don't know what kind of Bible study this is, but it's encouraging me. So we'll leave it at that. But as you read the Word of God at that faith and you receive a crown, He gives you the little strength by that faith that keeps the word, it says. The little strength that doesn't deny His name. When you go to school, do you keep the name of the Lord? Is He ever present with you? Yeah, He is. But are you ashamed of Him at all at work? Is He in your home with your kids? I'm talking about every day. I think us showing up on Wednesday shows that maybe we're not just thinking about Him only on Sunday, huh? It's every day. It's every day. It's every moment. And it's thrilling to live every moment. I wish I had better words for it. But He has precious words and He says, hey, you know what? I'm going to reward you even up to half of My kingdom. I'm going to sit you on a throne right with Me if you'll believe Me. And it comes by faith. See, that takes great faith to believe. People look at you and you say, you believe that? You got to be out of your mind. I am out of my mind. I got a new mind. I got the mind of Christ in me. And these are the things I see when I have that vision, when I got His mind in me. And it captivates me. It captivates every thought. It's so mighty. You become like Him. You love like He does. You want to get together. You know, you'd think, and I'm just telling you, I thought to myself as I was telling Polly, I said, you know, honey, I said, look at this, what's happened this week. We got a Wednesday night Bible study. We got a Thursday night rehearsal. We got a Friday morning funeral. We got a Friday night, we have the prayer meeting. Saturday, we got a wedding. And then Sunday, I think we got church. And I said, you know what? I'm excited about it. I'm not overwhelmed. I really am not. Can you imagine that? Because you love God. And you know what? We're going to be sharing the love of God. We're going to be fellowshipping in Him and fellowshipping in His Word. What else would we want to do? Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Noah was warned. And how was he warned? He was listening to God. God's warning you in your life all the time. You know that? Yep. Yep. Young people. He's warning you about girls. He's warning you about boys. I'm not kidding you. Heed the warning. I'm serious. He's warning us every moment of our life to listen to Him. But you know what? His sheep hear His voice. They know His voice. We have the opportunity to hear His voice. And the voice of God is the Word of God, and it's coming out all the time. Are you confused about something in your life? I'm serious. If you're confused about anything in your life, the Word of God has the answer for you. And that's not a cop-out. That's not a lame answer to you. That's the truth. Everything is there. Every provision. He is for you. He is for you. All things good. He won't ever withhold anything good or profitable to put in your life. Do you believe that? No, do you really, really believe that? I believe you do. And I'd say, amen to that. Thank you, Jesus. But by faith we pay attention and listen to God. By faith we know that this Word is important and vital in our life. How many people are in a Bible study do you think this evening? I don't think very many. And why is that? Because people don't think that the Word of God is important. And when you don't think the Word of God is important in your life, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to have any faith. You're not going to have a vision. You're going to just be out there a floatsom, Brother Hill used to call it. I don't want to be a floatsom. I want to know. I've always been a young person that wanted to know. I wanted to know everything. Ask my mother. Mother, why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? She had the answer. Because God made it that way. I didn't realize she was the greatest scientist that ever walked. But you know what? She was right. She was right. But you know what? I've entered into the know. I know. I know whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed against that day. That's when I rest, man. There's perfect peace in that, isn't there? I mean, it's zone time. I don't know how else to say it. But I mean, I'm in God's zone. What a privilege. Do you realize the privilege that you have been called into? Do you realize the privilege of the love of God that He is offering to you this evening? That He's offered to you in your entire life? That He's saying, I want to make you mine. It's real. Oh, it's so, so, so real. 2 Peter 2:5. Let's go there. It said, and God spared not the old world. People think how valuable and precious the world is. Oh, the precious earth. It's a wonderful thing. God made it. Read what it said here. He spared not the old world, but He saved who? Noah, the eighth person. For eight people, He just dispensed this thing just like that, didn't He? Do you know how valuable you are? Okay. Well, we got to save the planet. We got to save this. We got to... I want to go where God wants me. You know what God's interested in? He's interested in human beings. And He's interested in them knowing His Son. He's interested in you. More than this earth. The Katrinas can come. The Ritas are lined up. And Bonita and all of the other ones that come around. But He's interested in you. Oh, I just thrill in that. And I read that and I just kind of laughed to myself. That's how the world's going. You see, that's how the people in the world... Oh, well, we got to save the planet. And that's more important than the people even. What did God say? Well, we got to save the animals. We got to do all this. God said, slay and eat. And the animals are for you. Uh-oh, am I stepping on your toes? Hey, I got a new dog. I love dogs. Brother Hill didn't even like the dogs very much. He'd say, oh, they're all like... Actually, he had a couple dogs. It was so sweet. He actually had to spank David because of a dog one time. But that was another story. I'll tell you about another time. That's kind of funny, old Bruno. But what's it say here? He said He spared not the old world, but He saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And that's just a taste of what's happening down there. Don't get all, oh, well, see, the flood's coming on the ungodly. Grace is coming on the ungodly right now. I hope you understand that. God is seeking that right now. He really is. He wants all men to be saved. Not going into the kingdom age that we're going to be doing the big revivals, but He did. He sent His Son, and He would have it that all men would come to a knowledge of His Son. But the thing that He's doing right now is He's seeking a goodly pearl. And there's such grace in seeking that bride for His Son that He'll save others at the same time. Can you imagine that you're holding the whole thing back? I mean, can you imagine that? The world depends on me. I'm not kidding you. I hope you understand that. We say, well, you better get that head back a little bit smaller, and it's getting pretty big. It's not going to get out the door. No, it's not that. It's because I know He loves me. I know where He's taking me to. And the world is stopping for me. Because He loves us. Hallelujah. He's seeking that girdly pearl right now. But Noah was as able. He was righteous because he believed and preached the sacrifice. In Genesis 6:8, it says that he found grace in God's sight. In Genesis 6:9, it says that he walked with God. And how you see that? If you'll see grace in your life, you know what? You'll walk with God. Because He is grace. You ever thought of it that way? Why did he walk with God? Because he saw the grace of God. People that are trying to walk in their own merit, in their own accountability. You've heard me saying that so many times. Because that's rampant in Christianity right now. Be accountable. No, be in grace. Be different. Get the grace of God because that's what it is all about. If I walk with God, it's because I'm in grace. I'm hand in hand in the grace of God. It's His walk. It's His path. It's His faith. It's His faith that He even gives us. I hope we understand that. And I still laugh at the sight of old Noah building the ark in the desert. If you really think about that for a moment, you are going to laugh. I mean, if you think about that big old boat that he really built in that, and God told him how to build it, and he's getting them animals, and I'm sure those people are just shaking their head. But he built that ark in the midst of that desert. And that was beyond the impossible, even downright crazy. It really was. And sometimes when you're in God's perfect will, you're going to seem like you're downright crazy. Have you ever been there? I hope you have. And I'm not saying that you're tempting man or tempting God or anything like that. I'm talking about in God's will, where the world looks at you and says, you're nuts. And you know what? I'd have to venture and guess that probably the good portion of the world tonight, if they knew you were at a Bible study, they'd say, you're downright crazy. You're waiting for who? You're expecting what to come? You really think that Jesus Christ, yeah, we'll accept that he was on this earth, I guess, as a man, but was God in the flesh? And that he's got a plan not to just save you, that you could grow up into him? And that God has a plan that he's getting ready a people for his namesake to marry his son? Yeah, that's real to me. And that's what I'm living for. I've got it all on that altar. I'm putting it all there. I believe it. And I know it soon. And the Word of God tells me so. I see it so clearly. I don't understand how people read the Word of God and don't see it. I really don't. But you know what? I have to step back and say, that's only the Holy Spirit. It's not because of me. It's not because you're such a good guy or anything like that, or you were so intelligent to see these things. It's because God's great grace. He knew that we would love Him. He drew us into a place that we could come and fellowship together as a people. I call you brother and sister, but that doesn't even quite get it. We're talking about a different dimension. It's beyond. It's beyond. It's when Brother Hill went to be with the Lord, as my little son said, I thought how the wonderful truth that can come out of the mouth of a baby. He said, oh, Grandpa's way. Hallelujah. 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 I got to get back to this. But Noah believed God's word. And he respected and he heeded the call. And he saved his family. Dads and moms out there today, heed the call. Listen to the Word of God and save your family. There isn't anything more important. Naturally speaking, I don't think there's even anything more important than the kids he gave you. Now save your family. Brother Hill used to talk about that house that was on fire. If you were walking down the street, would you just walk on by? If the people were in the other room and you saw the house on fire and they didn't notice it and you saw it smoking in there, could you walk on by? I told you about that little baby that was walking out in front of the car the other night that the Lord specifically, divinely, had me divert my path and go and stop the car and go grab that kid. Could I have just driven on by? How much more the things of God? How much more the things of God even in your own home? Well, I'll let it go because I'm too tired tonight to deal with my kid about that. That's just the enemy talking to you. We're to stand in defense of the gospel, and that might be with your children. And I'm learning that, brother. He told me about that stuff. To stand and withstand and encourage. And you know those kids, by the grace of God, are going to be my children as long as I'm on this planet. If I have to burp you when you're 42, buddy, we're going to go at it. Am I still God's child? Now, I understand that they're going to grow and they're going to be little men of God and the different things by the grace of God if Jesus tarry. But do I ever give up on that? Do I ever just say, no, I'm their daddy. Now, I'm always in prayer and He's going to guide my hand to what to do. But there's a difference when I just quit. God's no quitter. God don't want you to be a quitter. He wants you to go after it. And He wants you to go after it first and foremost in prayer. And when you're in prayer, then He guides you, doesn't He? You don't lean to your own understanding. You don't lean to these books of these psychologists and all these different things. No, I acknowledge Him in all my ways. And what did He say He'd do? He'll direct my path. He'll enlarge my steps. He makes me bold. He makes me confident in Him. That's where I want to be with Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. But again, this sounds so familiar because how many families take their kids to church anymore? The world says it's old fashioned. The world says, well, why aren't you having fun? You know, I told you last week and I said that to Brother Hawkins and he was pretty quiet. I said, oh, Brother Hawkins, I'm having fun. He says, I'm sure he was thinking, boy, you don't even know what you got yourself into. You don't even know what you stepped into, man. I pray by the grace of God, and I believe Brother Hawkins would say too, he has fun, that I always have fun. Jesus is fun. He's peace. He's joy. He's everything. I have fun just sitting with Him now. I used to always have to be doing stuff. But I can actually sit down and have fun with my Lord. He talks to me. You're going to take me out of here in a funny coat. But I'm telling you, He talks to me and He's real. And see, not besides just having fun, I want to save my family. And I'm thankful for this place because you know what this meeting is? It's like the ark. See, the ark saved them, didn't it? The world was out there and he got rid of the world for 8 people. What's He going to do for His bride? Even for one? He would have taken Lot out of there even if he was the only one. He loves you. He loves you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I see this wonderful meeting that we have here as the ark. I really do. It's such a haven to us. And it goes on to say that even Noah, and I so appreciate so many of these truths in here, and I appreciate you bearing with me. But I think the Lord is having it go this way. It's methodical, but there's so much here. But by faith, it says that He even sees the future. Just as we see the future when we read this by faith. How many people, Christians, do you meet and know that say, well, we talk to them about Revelation. Well, that book scares me. I don't think you're supposed to know that one. God will reveal that someday. You've heard that. If you've been around at all and ever talked to any other Christians, you'll hear that. Oh, that's just some types and signs and symbols that's for some other time. This is for now. And it's so marvelous. And if Jesus tarry, we might even get into that one. I pray we do. I appreciate old sweet brother Joe Burge. I think you've heard me tell him many times before when I was a 16, 17, 18 year old, I used to go over in that class downstairs and I'd show up. I'd be the only one, not to say, oh, look at me, but I'd be the only one going in his class. And he'd look all discouraged and he'd kind of shake his head. Well, what do you want to do? Well, Joe, I came to church. I don't have a ball. I don't have a mitt. No, I'm just teasing. But you know what? I want to hear the Word of God. And you know, Joe could bring the Word of God like nobody's business. And he sat there for 2 years straight, pretty much. It was just one-on-one. And he brought revelation to me. Whenever I talked to him, and he might even feel low sometimes, I said, I'll tell you what, brother. I'll be a jewel in your crown someday. I'll be a jewel in your crown someday. All those teachers that gave me the Word of God, that preached to me. None of it returns void. We're going back to a cold cup of water. What is it when I give the Word of God, the everlasting Word? What does that give you in your life, teaching those ladies downstairs? He's building it all the time, isn't He? Everything that He calls you to do, do it joyfully, gladly, thankfully. I know it can sometimes be a little bit heavy. You see me a little bit low sometimes or something, you know, oh, yeah, it's too much for me to bear. Get it off your shoulder, Jess. You got a privilege there. You're giving out the Word of God. And that's every one of us to have that kind of testimony. Praise Him. Praise Him. Kind of closing this up here on Noah. I thought we'd get a little bit further, but I thought how the animal and the birds, they actually had more faith than the people did, didn't they? They got in that ark. I believe that somehow, some way, I'm not trying to be too far-fetched here. And someday everything that has breath will give praise to the Lord. I believe those little animals know something that a lot of people don't. I believe they know that they have a Creator. And they do just what they're supposed to do. Precious, precious. But again, that ark represents Christ. And this world, I'm going to tell you, it's condemned when they don't enter in and they're going to perish. There's a hell. And more importantly than there's a hell, there's a lake of fire out there. Give out the Word of God. Care for people. I don't care how bad, how mistreated you've been by them. Love them like God loves them. Brotherly kindness. Charity. That's the evidence of the knowledge that's effectual in your life. I think the Lord's getting me ready to get into that too. Oh, it's a sweet thing. Oh, praise God. But you'll see that as Noah, where we are an heir of God, as it wraps it up here, by righteousness. And that righteousness is by faith. By faith, we are just and we are perfect, just as Noah. By faith, a sinner inherits everlasting life. By faith, a sinner inherits everlasting life, doesn't he? And by faith, and by a walk of faith, a child of God can inherit a crown. A crown is yours. But it's by faith. When He says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You have a little strength when you're doing that, don't you? That's that little strength there it's talking about in Revelation. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And that little strength is from the word of His patience. And the only way I get the word of His patience is by faith and believing and hearing by the word of God. It's wonderful, magnificent, and we just praise Him for it. Let's pray. Dear God, again, we thank You for this time. We thank You for fellowship with You. You talk to us. You sing to us, and Lord, it's always in love. And help us again by Your grace to enter into this communion that You want, the fellowship of Your sufferings. Oh, but hallelujah, the power of Your resurrection. And hallelujah, we are new in You. Again, thank You for the new creation. And I can sense it growing in each one of our lives here this evening. And the work that You're doing in this place is such a mighty thing, Lord God. Help us to only again magnify You, to give glory to God just as Abraham did. And by giving glory to God, you increased his faith. That's a promise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.